welcome each one to the worship service. One of the things that I've been thinking of, and a few weeks ago we were up north, my wife and I, we were up north in one of the congregations up in La Crete there, Gospel Light, I believe is just what it's called. And the pastor that had the message that morning, he had a message and it spoke about blessing, how we as fathers can be a blessing upon or to our children or pour our blessing upon them. And it has, and I've been pondering it for a couple of weeks. And as I was preparing, I wanted to preach down, or we wanted to, I wanted to write out a sermon because it touched me as fathers being a blessing to our family. And as I was preparing, I thought maybe before we go into fathers being a blessing to our children, I thought maybe we should talk about what is the role or the responsibility of a dad, a father. So I hope that in the near future sometime we'll be able to study out the blessings or the blessing. You know, it reminds me of the story in Mark, I believe Mark 10, where Jesus was sharing the gospel to the people, and there was people that came around and brought these little children along to Jesus to listen to some of the stories and the things that Jesus was preaching about or talking about. And the disciples, when they seen a lot of these people bringing the children, they kind of rebuked the people. Says, "Why are you bringing all these little children along?" And Jesus told his disciples, putting them all in words, he said, "Let the little children come unto me." And he took them, and it says in Mark 10, it says, in my own words again, he took them, put his arms around him, and put him on his lap, if I remember correctly, but he's put his arms around him, and he blessed them. And he blessed them. And to me, as a father, we want to bless our children. We want to bless our families. But where are we as fathers that we can do that to our children? And in Genesis 27, Jacob and Esau, they really competed for their father's blessing. And blessings contains roots in ancient history. That was something that's very desired of the children, really wanted the father's blessing upon their lives. And I think the blessing of a father to their children still holds a very purposeful or very meaningful thing it should in our lives today. This last week, I listened to a fella that shared a story that his future son-in-law had shared with them. And he was telling the story that his daughter and this fella that she was having a relationship with, her boyfriend, they were courting, and they were madly in love with each other. They really loved their relationship, and they seen their lives together in the future. And the young fella asked the girl, he says, "I want to go ask your dad's permission to marry you. But what are we going to, what if your dad," he said in a joking way, he told her, "but what if your dad doesn't approve of me or doesn't want us to get married?" And the girl looked at her, let's just call him his fiance, or was very close, and he wanted to propose to her. And she said to him, "As much as I really love you, and I want to have a life with you, but my dad, if he doesn't approve of you, there's something that he sees in your life that I don't see. So I would be heartbroken and I would be devastated, but I would not continue a relationship with you. And I listened to that and I'm like, what did that dad do that he had the heart of his daughter? And I've thought of that, is like, what? And this dad was just sharing the story, and I'm like, that is powerful. And I want my children to be like that too. And I don't want to demand that, but I want to do what I can while my children are really young, that I can inspire of them something that they value what mom and dad see. And it struck me. And I think as fathers, do we have the hearts of our children? Is what I'm, like, that's what I am. My desire is for each one of us as dads to be in this room today, to have that desire and to want that in our children. And there's quite a few of us in this room today that have the privilege of carrying the role of being a dad, being a father. And there's some of you young fellas that have dreams, have ambitions, you have desires, and you are you desire that someday, Lord willing, that there will be a girl in your life or a woman in your life that you would want to spend the rest of your life with, and that you can share your dreams and your ambitions with her. And then there's maybe some of you in this room that have prayed and wanting and asking God that he would bless your home with children in your home. And at this given time, that door hasn't opened to you. And maybe at this time, even though you are not a father to your own children, you can be an influence to the children that are in this room today. And there is a time and there's a place for everything. And we are an influence to the younger ones in this room. Billy Graham said once, he said, a good father is one of the most unsung, unpraised, unnoticed, and yet one of the most valuable assets in our society. And I've thought of that. And I don't want to undermine the importance and the value that we put up on this side of in the pews here. I really value the women in our lives. In Proverbs 31, it says that who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. So on the lady side, you're very precious. You're very you're very prized, and you play a vital role in bringing up the children in the home. And what we men on this side of the room wouldn't be where we are today without ladies. So thank you for that. But this morning we want to just talk about the men and the important role that men hold in society today or in our homes. How did God design the family unit? And one of the studies this is a U.S. study done in the Department of Health. This is back in 96. There's a study done that 42% of single mother household lived below the poverty level. That's 42% of single mother households. Yet only 8% with married parents were considered poor. Do you see that drastic difference? 42 to 8%. If the absence of a father makes that drastic of a difference in the finances in a home, surely their absence affects many other areas. There's much more to being a godly father than just living in the same household. I'll say that again. There's much more to being a godly father than just living in the same household. And that is where my mind is going this morning. And I looked through my notes, and I'm trying to make sense of what I all wrote down. So if I get it all kind of twisted, I just hope you can at least take one little thing along with you and we can learn from that and be blessed. And I want to learn along the way, even though I was sitting here through a Sunday school class and I looked through my notes and I'm like, God help me. This is not going to work very well, but so just pray for me. In James 1, verse 5, it says, "If any of ye lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all man liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him." So my point of view is, or the way I want to understand James 1 is, if any of ye lack wisdom, and that means to approach life, approach your role as a father as from a point of view, where does God, how would God view your role in your life? That's kind of the direction I'm thinking. And it says that we can ask of God and it shall be given. So if we are lacking wisdom in our role as leadership, let's ask God and he will direct and he will guide us. I wonder if I would give these young chaps up here on the first bench, if I would give them a slip of paper and would ask them the question, what is a father or a dad? I wonder what their response would be. And the same thing on the young girls. What would the response be? What would a father would be? I'd like to ask that, but I'm not sure. It's maybe a little off the cuff that you might not know at this time what a father, or what would your response be? Maybe I can ask that. In your point of view, boys and girls, how do you view a father, or what would your definition be of a father? Ty, you got a kind of a grin on your face. You probably got a good answer, don't you? You know, I'm glad we're doing this, that we're studying this. Because if we have to wait and wonder what the role of a father is, maybe we men haven't done our job to explain it to you, to any of you. So maybe together with all of us, we can have a better definition of what a father will be. I just know the special moments that a little child comes into our home. The cuddly, the little princess, the little fella that God has blessed us with. I just remember after having our first child and the huge responsibility that God had entrusted into Cindy's and my care, this little individual, into our care, and with zip experience, with zero experience of knowing how to train a child. That is, if any of you young fellas have never, any of you young fellas, you might have a lot of ideals, you might have a lot of envisions what a father will be. I'll tell you this, that the moment you have your first child, if God grants you that blessing, the knowledge of being a dad is you don't have that. It's gone. You feel very insufficient. You don't you don't really know how you're going to process everything. It takes a lot of process. It takes a lot of faith, put it that way. Because you're young, you think you know what it would be like and what how you're going to play that father role, but it is even today, it's sometimes hard to understand and have the patience and try to understand how to navigate through working with children and knowing how to help them through dilemmas, help them through experiences. These are all, I think God has a way of bringing children into our lives to mature us to where we are at today. Because from your perspective as being a young boy, like my perspective of being a young boy to where I am at today, has two different, vastly different views. And in that regards, I just wanted to share a little story from perspective, from a child's point of view to an adult's point of view. And it's a story of a father. He took his young boy out on a fishing trip. The father and son went on a fishing trip, and when they returned home, the father was talking to a friend. And at the same time, the son was talking to one of his friends on a different place. And the friend asked the father, "Heard you went on a fishing trip. How did the fishing trip go?" The father responded, "Absolutely miserable. Worst day. We struggled getting the boat out ready to go. And when we finally got out, when we finally got to lake, the boat was out of gas. We had to go get gas. And then it took us a while, and finally we got out onto the water late. It was late in the afternoon. All the good fishing spots were all taken up. And when we got there, we dug out our fishing rods, and they were all tangled. And throughout the whole time, nothing was working. The tangled rods, the fish weren't biting. They had the wrong bait on. It was just not working." He said, "It's one of my miserable days. It just didn't go very good. And worst off, the fish weren't really biting, and the mosquitoes were biting." So to him, the whole fishing trip looked like a complete waste. And one of the little chap's friends asked him how the trip went with that. And he says, the young lad said, "Best day of my life." He said, "Didn't catch a thing, but I got to spend the day with Dad." Do you understand the perspective? How we sometimes we look at it as being the role of a dad, you know, things got to happen. Sometimes we forget to live in the moment that God has allowed us a good opportunity with our family. So I was kind of, I love to read that story because to me, I sometimes look at it very much like the father did instead of looking at it as how the son did. And we've had experiences in our home that was different than that, but I was shocked how Cindy would ask how the day went with the children, and their response was so much different than what my response was. So the important thing is we as fathers have a very short period of time to be a role model to our children. That is what I'm just trying to get across, is God has given us an opportunity. God has placed us with responsibility. What are we going to do with that short period of time in life that we have to impress upon them very important values on their life? And I am very thankful today that we have a very powerful book, a good book with a lot of resources, and that's our Bible that we can look at today. We can look through it, and there's a lot of instruction that's given to us as fathers to look at it. Where, what role, and what? How do we play the role of being a dad? And in 2 Timothy, all scripture is inspired of God, profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. And we wanted this morning, I would like to look at 5 points that as a Christian, that we as Christian fathers need to understand what God is expecting of us in our role as being a father. And the first point is 2 Corinthians 6. There is probably a lot more points. I don't want to just narrow it down. There's only 5 points that there are. There is probably a lot more points, but I just want to look at a few of the points that I feel that are very valuable in fulfilling that role as a father. So the first one is 2 Corinthians 6, 17 to 8. Second Corinthians 6, 17 and 18. It says, "Wherefore come out from among you, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you." And this is the point, verse number 18, it says, "And will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty." Every father needs to know the Heavenly Father. There is an identity there that is formed when you have a relationship with God. God in the scripture teaches man how to be a father. And that is the important thing, is, "And he will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters." That's the first point, is, do I have a relationship with God? Do I have a relationship with the Heavenly Father? That's point number one. And I think that's where the role of a father starts. Then if you can turn with me to Luke 1. There's a few points we want to look at in Luke 1. Luke 1, we're going to read 13 to 17. And before we start in verse 13, I'd like to read verse 17. It says, "And he shall go before him in the spirit and the power of Elias to turn the hearts of the father to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." So the point number two I want to look at is to turn the hearts of the father to the children. And we live in a society today where husband and wife relationships don't mean enough. That in our society today, the issues of kid don't have to be extremely big. And instead of taking responsibility, instead of a husband or a wife taking the responsibility, they are willing to sacrifice the family unit in order for them to have their own way. There is different reasons. There's a lot of different other aspects that can come into it. But a lot of it is not willing to take responsibility. Children, parents are not there to be an example to the children. And here, this is foretelling to Zacharias about what the mission of his son will be, is this. In verse 13, "And the angel said unto him, Fear not, Zacharias, for the prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. And he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. And he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall turn to the Lord their God. And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias, and turn the hearts of the father to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, and to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." I wrote in one of my notes here, "There can be no blessing from God or abundant life in the Spirit if God's people do not make family authority of love and faithfulness absolute priority in their lives." The priority and the purity and righteousness of the home must be maintained in the home. If that does not work in the home, even the congregations will suffer with that. And the one that's most responsible for accomplishing this task is a father of the family. That puts a lot of responsibility on our shoulders. Fathers must love their children. Fathers must pray for them. We as fathers, we can spend time with them. We can point out what ungodly decisions will be. Ungodly decisions, ungodly ways, how it will affect their lives. Diligently teaching God's word and righteous standards in their lives. Teach them. Turn the hearts of the father to the children. When I read that, it's just like, so oftentimes we focus on children, you know, children obey your parents, and that is a great commandment. But what are we doing as fathers that to turn the hearts of the father to the children? To me, it shows there has been a distance. So here, John the Baptist was called to preach and to be effective to the fathers, that their hearts will be turned back to the children. And that's the point number two. And as Christian parents, as fathers and mothers, we labor together with God for our families. We plant and we water, but it's God that will give the increase. But we got to take responsibility for where God has entrusted us today. When a father has a spiritual relationship with God, good things happen at home. I know there's been times in my life, we don't have teenagers in our home, but I know just with a 10, 9, 8-year-old, 6-year-old, there's times that you just need to pray to God and ask God for wisdom, because some of these things, you need power from above in order for you to understand how to navigate through training and teaching your child. We have a great responsibility, and it's a privilege we have. I don't want to press upon you as it being a really difficult thing, but it's a very serious and it's a very privileged opportunity we have. And a lot of you young fellas here this morning too. I remember being a young chap and looking up to the youth that were sitting in the pews. The ones that come through our homes when I was a little fella, I remember looking up to them, and they influenced my life. So all of you, you influenced the younger generation more than what you actually believe you do. So your influence is very vital to the younger generation. Point number three, Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5, 25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ has loved the church and gave himself for it. Love the mother of your children. And if I've read this and I can't vouch for it because my children aren't grown up to be adults. But I've read that the greatest gift that you can give to your children is to show your children that you love a mom, that you love your mothers, that you love your wife, that mom is the most important thing in the home. And your marriage, you as a father, the role that you play and how you portray your relationship with mom will serve as a model to your children. And it will be impressed upon them. And they will look at that into the future, into their relationship that they, Lord willing, will have. And it will affect them in their when they start their lives with someone special. Point number four, it says 1 Timothy 5, verse 8. I just picking through some of these, some that were important to me while I was studying. For if any provide not for his own, especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than infidel. So fathers providing for your children, providing physically for your family, that is very, very important. And it's a God-given duty and obligation. And again, I want to say it's a privilege that we have, is providing for our home. And it's not an option. It's not if we would like, but we need to take that responsibility very seriously. It's very serious. Mark 5 is another one that I want to turn to. Mark 5. And we talked about physically providing for them. And I want to look at Mark 5. And it's a sad story, but it's a sad story, but it shows the love that a father had for his child. And that's Mark 5, 21 to 43. And when Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet and besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. And Jesus went with them, and much people followed him and thronged him. And a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and had nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus, came to press behind and touch his garment. For he said, If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that the virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press, and said, Who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, Who touched me? And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the women, fearing and trembled, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him, and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace, and be whole of thy plague. While he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, Thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? As soon as Jesus heard the words that had spoken, he said unto the ruler of the synagogue, Be not afraid, only believe. And he suffered no man to follow him, save Peter, James, and John, and the brother of James. And he cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and seeing the turmoil, and them that weep and wailed greatly. And when he come in, he saith unto him, Why make ye this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. And when he had put them all out, he taketh the father and the mother and the damsel, and they that were with him, and entered in where the damsel was lying. And he took the damsel by the hand and said unto her, Talitha kumai, which is being interpreted, Damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was at the age of 12, and they were astonished with a great astonishment. And he charged them straightway that no man should know it, and commanded that something should be given her to eat. I just had to look at the story of this Jairus, how this man, he came to Jesus, and he had a great need. His daughter was dying, and he was very sick. Where it says in verse 23, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. As a father, there is many times, or there has been times, I'm sure, in your lives where you would have gladly taken the pain of your child. You have seen your child suffer, and you would be willing to take their place. And here we have Jairus. He did that. He went, he was in great pain. He came to Jesus, and he knew that this was his only answer. And as Jesus went with him, we see the multitude of people thronging around him. And to him, he probably, this is how I'm trying to imagine myself in his place. I would have probably ran out of patience. I would have tried to maybe push the people aside. And we got a place to go. Things weren't moving along. And it just is this throng of people just come around. And then we have the story of the certain women come over to him, and he touched him, and he turned around and took time to focus on her and heal her. And yet, throughout all of this, I'm sure his mind was stirring, what's going to happen to my daughter? This has taken way too long. And suddenly somebody comes and tells him, Master, it's too late. Don't trouble the master no more. The daughter has died. Your daughter has passed away. And Jesus' words to him were, do not be afraid, only believe. And after that, Jesus took him. And it was an opportunity for Jesus to show the power of God, and the daughter came back to life again. And I think for us as fathers, our role as a father is to provide for them physically, provide for them spiritually where we can, mentor them in their young age, teach them what we can, like this, seeing somebody is hurting and being there for our family. I love to see the story of a father that had a great love for his daughter. This This dad went to great lengths to take care of the need of his child. I keep going back to Luke 1:17, where it talks about to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children. Is that my role as a father? Am I doing that? Is my heart turned back to my children? Am I doing everything that I can do to provide for them? Not physically, not only physically, but for their spiritual needs as well. Because our children have eternal souls. And it's our responsibility as parents, as fathers, to give our children the upbringing that prepares them for life, for lives that will please God. Number 5, and that's the last point I want to look at, is Ephesians 6. Ephesians 6, verse 4, it says, and it's talking about children obeying the parents in the Lord. Honor thy father and thy mother, that they may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. In verse 4 it says, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath. Are our lives an example to our children? Do the choices they make reflect of what we have taught them? These are some sobering questions I had to ask myself. I think the core of a Christian father is this: the heart of the father must be turned to the heart of the child in order to bring the heart of the child to the heart of the Lord. That's a solemn responsibility we have. Am I teaching my child the way of salvation? One of the challenges through studying the role of a father, or what my responsibility is, am I teaching my children by example? Am I, as a dad, taking the responsibility to teach the importance of God? Do I teach them how much my relationship with God matters throughout my life? Do they see me praying to God? Do they see me asking God? Do they see me living out what I've been teaching them? Do they see that in my life? It's a challenge to me. That 2 Timothy 3, 5 says that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. And that is my prayer today, is that each one of us as fathers will take our responsibility, take it as a privilege that God has entrusted us with children. And in World War II, there was a general, his name was Douglas MacArthur, that wrote a poem to his boy. And I just want to read that in closing. And that poem said this: build me a son, O Lord, who will be strong enough to know when he is weak, and brave enough to face himself when he is afraid. One who will be proud and unbending in honest defeat, and humble and gentle in victory. Build me a son whose wishbone will not be where his backbone should be. A son who will know thee, and to know himself is the foundation stone of knowledge. Lead him, I pray, not in the paths of ease and comfort, but under the stress and spur of difficulties and challenges. Here let him learn to stand up in the storm. Here let him learn compassion for those who fail. Build me a son whose heart will be clean, whose goal will be high, a son who will master himself before he seeks to master other men. One who will learn to laugh, yet never forget how to weep. One who will reach into the future yet never forget the past. And after all these things, are his, add, I pray, the enough sense of humor so that he may always be serious, yet never take himself too seriously. Give him humility so that he may always remember the simplicity of greatness, an open mind of true wisdom, the meekness of true strength. Then I, his father, will dare to whisper, I have not lived in vain. May God bless each one of you.